You need an old shoe to throw in the soup, let me know, and I'll give you one of those. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 9, Revelation the 9th chapter. We're going to be finishing off verses 13 to 21. We are in the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet is part of the seventh seal. And the first, we have the scroll and book, beginning of the book. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Trumpets are not a seal. They are part of the seventh seal. Again, looking at it as you would an outline form. All of these judgments, all of the trumpet judgments and the thunders and the vials are all part of this sixth seal. And I say, why, Pastor, why do you keep emphasizing that? Because people say we've got these seven judgments, and then we've got another seven and another seven. And you've got six seals. When the seventh is open, it opens everything else. So the first six seals, you're coming into the tribulation, and as that seventh seal opens and these things start befalling, you are on a breakneck course to the Battle of Armageddon, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the second coming is not the rapture. The rapture is coming, but again, as I've said over the years, to help you differentiate with that, in the second coming we will meet the Lord in the air. And at the rapture we'll meet the Lord in the air, and at the second coming Jesus Christ will put his feet on the earth. So one is in the air, one is on the earth. One is a rapture, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and the other is Jesus planting his feet on the Mount of Olives. Two different events. Don't get the terms confused. Even guys that don't get the terms confused confuse the terms. So just be careful. And don't give up. Say, I just can't understand. It's too much information. Don't give up. But when you see rapture, but more importantly, when you see the word second coming, pay attention, because if somebody is using the word second coming to refer to the rapture, they either don't know their Bible, or they are using a critical text Bible, and they're putting they're making you go through the tribulation period, or putting the tribulation period at the middle of the tribulation, or the rapture at the middle of the tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation. They're doctrinally they are messed up. So just be careful, just some words to think about. We are in chapter 9, look at verse 13. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, he heard it, and he heard the voice, and saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would have a vivid understanding of these passages so that we would not get caught up in the false doctrine and false teaching of our day, but we would be able to rightly divide, and then knowing your terror, that we would persuade men of the need for salvation. Because as this day in this chapter of Revelation draws closer and unfolds, the likelihood of someone trusting you as their Savior becomes less and less likely, as we'll see in our text this evening. So while there is yet time, while it is today, may we be faithful to spread the gospel message as we look to your word tonight. In the name and power of Jesus Christ's name, amen. This judgment does not follow the seventh seal. This judgment is the seventh seal. It is part of it. In a few weeks, we're going to unwrap the vial judgments. The vial judgments do not follow the seventh trumpet. The vial judgments are the seventh trumpet. So John hears a voice and says, loose the four angels. And that is an interesting choice of words. Because as I study God's word, there is only one type of angel that is bound, and that's one of Satan's angels. And they are bound, and here they are loosed. You will not find, if you can, study the Word, show me something in God's Word where it shows you that one of God's angels has been bound. Necesito translation. Do you need help? Can you help us this evening, Zenaida? Do you have... You do. You have one. You have an earpiece. Okay. Zenaida will be up there. Un momento, por favor. And I can't speak in English and Espanol lo mismo. I can't do it at the same time. I can't even do it one apart from one another. I know a few words here and there, and that's about it. I'm dangerous when it comes to Spanish. Most Spanish people, when they listen to me speak Spanish, they laugh. And so I tell them, tengo el vocabulario de un niñito. I have the vocabulary of a little child, and they laugh again. And but I try. I should have had you up there translating. Oh, man, that messed you up. Are you ready? Microphone's going on. Headphones are on. And she is getting comfortable, and we got a thumbs up. So here we go. If you can find a place in God's Word where God's angels that are faithful to Him and serving Him and following Him are bound, then I'll retract what I just said. I have not been able to find anything except for Satan's angels that are bound. And that's coming from a number of places, Revelation chapter 20 that we memorized, notwithstanding. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. I bring out chapter 7, verse 1, because there are those that would say that the four angels of Revelation chapter 9, verse 13 are the same four angels as Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. But there's a difference. There's a difference in what they do. And these four angels are bound. They are bound and they are loosed. Verse 15, the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. For what? For to slay the third part of men. Fallen angels are bound. So, we see that. The river Euphrates is an interesting word. You want to study the origin of that, you find that there is water. And you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. There is a river coming out of Garden of Eden, and it split into four branches, and one was the great river Euphrates. Again, historical significance, starting at Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. That river going out of the Garden of Eden and splitting into branching into four parts, and one of those parts was Euphrates. Interesting little fact, the Euphrates River is 1,780 miles long. And basically, that river divides western and the eastern portions of the middle and the far east. And it is a fascinating prophecy. That the rivers of the armies, the nations of the east, will cross the great river Euphrates and march on Israel. And that the river Euphrates will be dried up. So every time you see the river Euphrates in the news, you should be paying attention. Are you paying attention? Because the river Euphrates has been in the news for about, I don't know, the last 5 years, going back to 2016. The news reports was that the Euphrates River, because of misuse and mismanagement and the countries around it, namely Turkey, Syria, and Iraq, are taking water, extra water from it. The farmers are taking more water for irrigation, and they are saying the Euphrates is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and they're afraid that it might dry up. And you see that in the news. It's just a wonderful opportunity to be able to go to work and say, did you see the news? The river Euphrates is drying up. And people are going, yeah, what's the big deal about that? In God's Word, there's an unfinished prophecy coming up in the book of Revelation, talks about the river Euphrates. And it's a great way to witness. It's an interesting read. Interesting read. It is shrinking. And it has been shrinking since at least 2016. When is that going to unfold? I do not know, but God does. And He'll be right on time. Look at Revelation chapter 16. Verse 12, the sixth angel, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared, able to go in that direction. In this seal, in the fourth seal, we're in the sixth, but in the fourth seal, 25% of the world's population was killed. In this trumpet judgment, in this sixth trumpet judgment, 1/3 of the remaining population of the world is killed. Am I get that right? Yeah, 1/3 remaining of the world population just wiped out. And so I thought I'd do a little historical review. And again, if you can find an event, please let me know. I could not find an event of this nature in the realm of catastrophic. In order to find one, I had to go all the way back to Genesis and the destruction of the world by a flood. So this is a historic event. So for someone to say to you, well, you know, people die all the time. people do not die on this magnitude. And again, this event that is spoken of in Revelation chapter 9 is distinctly different than any other world event that has ever taken place, going all the way back to the flood. And I stress the flood because there are those in the world today that would say, oh, the flood is a myth. Then I would say to them, then according to what you believe, there has never been an event of this magnitude that killed this many people. It just has not happened. But it will. It will. And if you can do the figures on that, let me know what it is, and I'll report on them this week. It's in my notes to do that. I've got question mark, question mark, question mark. But time did not avail to do that math. And chapter 9, verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. How many is that? That's 200 million. This is kind of interesting. You can do the math, and I did some math, a lot of math in Revelation chapter 9. How many soldiers are in the world today in the top armies? Did you know that the United States of America does not have the most number of military people in the world today? We do not. Who does? China does. Say, well, we must be number two. No, we are not number two. That would be India. That would be India. In order to find out where the United States is on the active duty military personnel, you have to go to number six. We're the sixth largest army in the world. But just the fact that India and China are east of the Euphrates, and they boast. I would say, preacher, well, China doesn't boast 200 million. No, they do not. But they did once upon a time. Well, when did, when pray tell? 1965. 1965, China boasted of a military of 200 million ready to wage war on the world. Now, it is possible that China had read this number and thought, you know, we're going to be this nation, and they just broadcast the number. I don't know. Their numbers are not boasted that strong today, but they had it in 1965. They are definitely not smaller today than they were then. And the number of active duty and the numbers that have been trained and could be called up, no doubt in my mind, very easily reach this number on their own. Not to mention India and the other nations that boast that many people. So several years ago, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. This is horrendous, all these people getting killed. What in the world is the world going to do? Is God merciful in this? Revelation chapter 24, verse 22, God is absolutely merciful. And this is an interesting phrase. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, there are those that take that and say that the 7 years of tribulation could have been 10, could have been 14, but God shortened those to 7 years. It doesn't say that the years would be shortened. It says that the days would be shortened. Well, just for fun, I sat down with a nuclear physicist, and I said to him, what would happen in the world if the days were shortened by a third? We went from a 24-hour day to a 16-hour day. In order for that to happen, the world would have to spin faster. One revolution in 24 hours, and one revolution would be 16 hours. What would happen? And I was really quite in it. I had my ideas on what would happen, and I shared them. Well, I thought maybe it would affect this system, and it would affect that system, and it would affect the next system. And he said to me, no, it wouldn't affect any of those things, which is why I am not a nuclear physicist. I said, well, what systems of the world would be affected if the world, if the days were shortened? Is what he said. Anything that has a computer. Gas pumps would not run. Nuclear missiles would not fly. I say that because Revelation chapter 9 talks about horsemen. Let's read on. And I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and jacinths and brimstones, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was a third part of men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. People writing about Revelation chapter 17 and 18 will tell you that these verses describe our current day nuclear bombs, missiles, and all that. And I certainly wouldn't debate. It certainly sounds like that. God says horsemen. And so the preachers that look at this, you know, we try to explain away God's word. I just don't do that. It's got to be figurative. God's really not talking about horses. God's talking about maybe horsepower or things of that nature. The text says horses. And again, my nuclear physicist, what is going to work? Nothing is going to work. The military planes will not fly. Why? Because they're all computerized. The drones will not fly because they are all computerized. The tanks will not run because they are computerized. Did you know your car has a computer in it? So don't worry about the gas pumps not running because they're computerized, because your car's not going to run to get there unless you push it in. You probably won't have money to buy gas anyways. Just kind of interesting. You think about everything that we have that is computer-oriented. Gas pumps, cell phones, tanks, aircraft, drones, ships, satellites, nuclear rockets. Just kind of interesting. 200 million in the military, again, surely fantasy, but in the top 25 militaries in the world, and here's my math for that one, there are 75,543,487, and that is active duty military guys. So let's just ask a question. Let's just do a random, this is not a scientific survey at all. How many folks, men or women, do we have in the room that are not active duty, but you have served, and not necessarily in our military, in any military anywhere in the world, but you are not active duty right now? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 7. In the room tonight. That's just a random sample. And I just say, here's 75 million, but it does not count the guys who have been trained, have served at one time, and the government says, it's time to show back up to work, because we're going to war, and we need you in the battle and get called back up. So 75 million plus active duty in just the top 20 nations in the world today, and that number easily could hit 200 million soldiers. Don't let people take away your confidence in God's word. Don't let them do that. Horses, it doesn't really mean horses. Don't let people take away your confidence in God's word. In the end, I believe God. I'm just going to trust God. Judgments described Again, we're in the seventh seal. Under the seventh seal, we have the trumpet judgments, the thunders, and the vials that are being poured out, all part of this seventh seal, all falling under that. And here's what it is. It's a, you got seal one, seal two, three-o-C, three-o-C-04, I can say the seal five, seal six, and then it comes to seal seven. And this is what seal seven is like. Trumpet, 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 trumpet. Vial, 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 vial. Thunder, 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 thunder. And it's just like rapid succession being poured out upon the earth. So if you want to, we're kind of working our way through year one, year two, year three and a half. The temple is defiled by the Antichrist. The seventh seal opens, and then bang, 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 bang. These start to hit the earth and fall out. It's just enough to absolutely take your breath away. Verse 17, graphic description, horses and horsemen. Talks about black, jacinth, and brimstone are interesting colors. They're a red that is so red it's like black. Now tell me what soldiers typically wear today. They're wearing dark colors, they're wearing camouflage depending upon where they're going to fight. They're fighting at night, they're going to be all in black. A lot of the armies in the world are dressed in black. But the deal is, the guide is to be hidden. By this, verse 18, a third of the men are killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For the power is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, this is interesting, the rest of the men. So here we are, where the sixth seal is open, these rapid succession of judgments are falling out upon the earth. And how do you respond to that? So I got some bad news today. Some really bad news. And so it's just one piece. And if I told you, you'd go, that's not really bad. It is to me. It was to me. And so I left the house. It's just one of those bits of news that just takes the wind out of your sails. And it's like, and so I come over to church and I park my car over in the far part of the parking lot, and I get out of the car, and I said to the Lord, what am I going to do? And it's like the Lord said, now you're going to pray. Now you're going to pray. Oh, I've been here all along. Where have you been? It's like, oh, well, I've been fretting. That's what I've been doing. And he said, well, it's good that you pray. And let me remind you of a Bible verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I said, okay, all right, okay. I'm the preacher. I say you should pray. I didn't pray. I'm going to pray. I will pray now. So I'm going to go in church. I'm going to pray. Okay? Okay. And I did. I looked up. Maybe you don't talk to God like that. So, okay. And I looked up, and there, flying high in the sky, was an eagle. Big white head, big white tail, just circling around. It's almost like God said, are you paying attention? Are you listening to me? Will you take your problems to me and let me take care of them? And we should, right? But this crowd doesn't. All it took for me as a Christian is to have one teeny tiny little problem. But I turned to the Lord. These guys are having. And what do? Verse 20. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. I was talking to the teachers before the service. I get it. I'm the pastor. I get to work with adults. But as I work with different age groups, and I do, which were very young, very old, I find that the most responsive people in the room are typically not the big ones. They're the little ones. The little children that have a tender heart, that want God, want to talk to God, want to be pleasing to God. As we get older, it's like, yeah, I can do this on my own. Don't need you, don't help me. These guys are like, I don't need you, don't help me. It does not get easier as we get older. And for somebody that says to you, I'm going to get saved during the tribulation period, you should take them right to this verse. These people are living wicked, vile, immoral. They are stealing, they are killing, they are fornicating. And when God's judgment hits them, they don't stop and say, okay, you got my attention. They don't look up. They don't look to God. But listen, we should. We absolutely should. They will not. So the chances of, will people be saved during tribulation period? We dealt with that many weeks ago. Yes, as the sand of the sea, just you will not be. A person who has rejected Christ will not. Why? Because like Pharaoh's heart, they harden. They say no, 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 no. And they get more violent, more violent, more violent, more violent. It becomes harder and harder and harder, yet to the point where it is impossible that they will respond to the gospel message. They repented not. They refused to do it. The survivors refuse to repent. So very quickly, I'm going to give you 7 marks of the tribulation rejecter, person who rejects Christ, from these 2 verses. Number 1, they are impenitent. They refuse to repent, verse 20 and 21. They are idolatrous, worshiping idols that cannot see, cannot hear. Verse 20. Verse 20 says, number 3, they are devil worship. They worship the devil, worship Satan, the beast, and the false prophet, being his emissary. Number 4, from verse 21, they are murderers. They are killing. They're killing. Verse 21, and they are in practicing sorcery. Verse 21, fornication. Verse 21, theft. And as I say, all the deepness and the depravity and the hardness of the human heart facing certain personal destruction, facing overwhelming destruction of the entire world, they refuse to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. How deluded is the world today? It's a case out of New York. The New York Supreme Court heard a case. Man stood before the New York Supreme Court, and he said, as part of my defense, I would like to play a video. And he played a video that was of his lawyer representing him. And they didn't get too far into the video where one of the Supremes of New York stopped the testimony and said, "Is this a real person? Or is this artificial intelligence?" And testifying before the New York Supreme Court was not a real live lawyer of flesh and blood. He was a lawyer that was artificially created on the computer and was giving a testimony before the New York Supreme Court. The Supreme Court justices of New York were not amused. We're not amused, as you can imagine. But people think for a moment that they're going to pull one over on God. That they're going to create something on the computer or create some kind of an argument that is going to be so compelling that God is going to say, oh, I'm just going to set aside my word, my justice, and I'll let you into heaven. I'll let you do your thing. I change my mind. I'm not going to do this. Listen, you can't. Fool the, of all people, you think you'd be able to fool the New York Supremes, right? Well, you're not going to be able to fool them. You certainly are not going to be able to fool God. What is the answer? Flee the wrath to come. Come to Christ before it is too late. There is a violent storm coming. It's Revelation chapter 9. Come to Christ. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray that if there is one in the room this evening that has not trusted you as their Savior, they would flee the wrath to come. And their chances of being saved this evening are a whole lot better than if they waited out because at this time, their chances will be impossible. With every head bowed and every eye closed, it's compelling to ask the question. Here this evening, do you know Christ? Do you not know Christ? Have you trusted Christ? Have you rejected Christ? Say, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, the gift of God, which is eternal life. Tonight, God is speaking to my heart. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Now, Father, may we, as salt and light, knowing your wrath that is going to be poured out upon the earth, may we be faithful to the gospel message as we go from the room tonight in the power and name of Jesus Christ. Amen.